Hello, podcast listeners. This is Chris Sauter, lead pastor of Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And if you heard that, you might be thinking, wait a second, weren't we the Cloquet Vineyard Church? Exactly. We have transitioned out of the Vineyard movement and now are called the Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And to get more answers to all the questions that are bouncing around in your head, please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org, where there's a brief video that I share of how and why we transition where we're going. And if you find that these messages bring something good and beautiful to your life, that they are inspiring, that they are life-giving, well, we invite you to do the same thing that today that you'll hear that we invite our whole church to as we go through this transition. First one is this, is show up or maybe like speak up. If you live in this vicinity, we'd love to meet you. I'd love to be able to put a face to your name of saying, hey, I've been listening to this for the last 3 years. Or go on to our website and go to the contact and send me an email saying, hey, I love this community. I support this community. And second thing is this. If you really do find meaning and belonging and these messages are life-giving, we are encouraging our whole entire community to give generously financially. And if you'd like to invest in this community, you can give online, again, at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. So I hope that this message of our transition brings energy, it brings heaven, and it brings Jesus to your doorstep. Have a good and beautiful day, friends. I'm excited to give our first message as Neighborhood Church, and where I want to start is Steve Hamlin in here? I don't think he is. Steve Hamlin is one of our worship leaders, and I had him as I was his youth pastor when he was in sixth grade, and the way he summed it up to someone else that was nearby, they're like, so what's church like? He's like, I can tell you exactly, it's this. It's good and beautiful God, junior high story, Chris laughs at himself, good and beautiful God, pray, end. I'm like, oh, that's it's fairly accurate, because where I'm starting today is a junior high story, so. when I was young, I only remember going to church. I can remember when I was really little, my mom praying with me in the basement in our bedroom. And so, like, Jesus and spirituality has been with me as long as I can remember. And and church has been a very interesting experience, because when I was young, I got to choose between two kinds of churches. The first church was the Catholic Church, and I still appreciate a lot of the rhythms of the Catholic Church. And if you went to the Catholic Church, there was nothing for kids. Actually, they gave you like four books that were really bad that you could choose between and take with you, right? And you got to do the stand up, sit down, so that was kind of fun. And there'd be randomly donuts. And they had like the buttermilk donuts, you know, like the really crunchy ones. They were great. But I remember also, it's like they lost the recipe of Kool-Aid and they had like to keep Kool-Aid forever going on. So it was just flavored water. And they got me as a kid. I'm like, oh, Kool-Aid. I'm like, oh, not again. Right? So I had to choose between that or what I call the yelling church. So you could go in that Catholic church, 1 hour, done, like on a clock. Yelling church, very different. I call it yelling church. It's because they would run around and yell how dumb the devil was, right? And then they'd run around and yell how good God was, right? And they just, it was like, just there was constant, like just this energy, right? Just nonstop. And that was fun, right? Well, not always, but it was fun. And you had a kids' church. And a kids' church, you got, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but my memory of kids' church was you take an offering and... take an offering as kids, and if the guys or the girls gave more money, they got to take a little pie and shove it in the face of the opposite gender, right? Yeah, it's just horrible. Your face is green, like, what's going on? But here's the problem. There's usually like two guys and like 15 girls, and we never won, all right? Never. I don't know why we played that game. Anyways, why am I telling this? Oh, but that was, and that was 3 hours long. So you had to like choose your own adventure, right? And everything changed when I got invited by my friend Michael Cockett to go to a church here in Cloquet. It used to be called the Cloquet Gospel Tabernacle. And he invited me to youth group, and I went, and I've shared this story a lot of times. I went mainly because there was going to be Christian girls there, and I thought maybe I'd have a chance of them talking to me, all right? I was a very awkward kid. I loved sports. I was very competitive. I loved arts. I loved math. It's true. I was on the math team, all right? I was trying to do every single thing I could, but I never really felt, outside of my home, I didn't really feel like I landed anywhere. I never feel like I belonged anywhere. And you know, you didn't have words when you're 13, but you guys remember being 13, 14 years old, right? You just didn't feel like I just belonged anywhere. I just felt like I was like a misfit and people just tolerated me. And so I show up to this youth group. It was called Cross Current because they were super cool. I walked in and I still remember one of the leaders, Brian, walks up and he's like, "Hey, what's your name?" Introduces himself to me. And I'm like, that was weird. Like, adults don't talk to me, right? Adults move towards me because I stink, literally, right? Or I did something wrong. This guy came right after him. His name's Phil Baker. We called him Pastor Phil, and he was the youth pastor. And he walked up to me. I don't remember anything that he said, not one thing. And he shook my hand, and he probably said, "Hey, great to see you." But I felt in that moment, like, noticed. I felt loved. I felt valued. And then a little bit later, a couple weeks later, I kept coming back. He invited me to the Cozy Cafe. Any Cozy Cafe Bobos out there? Right? Yeah. A Cozy Cafe in Carlton. And there's two of us. Like, yeah, the Cozy's the best ever. And he bought me a can of Coke. And this is significant because in my family, oh yeah, my parents are here. All right, sorry, Dad. All right, my family, if you got a can of Coke, because I have four brothers and sisters, it meant we got a Coke. Not we got a plethora of Cokes. We got a can of Coke, and we'd have to pass it down, right? This is how we did ice cream, right? We did not get an ice cream cone. We got an ice cream cone, right? And so the fact that I got to have my very own can of Coke already locked down the deal. And I have no recollection of what we talked about. I was there for about 45 minutes. But I left that place feeling like this is my home. I felt at home. Like my home with my family was excellent. But as a teenager, finally felt like I belonged. And it had nothing to do with what I gave, had nothing to do with what I brought to the table as a 13-year-old with a bad haircut, had nothing to do with what I believed, had nothing to do with what I was able to produce or what I was able to answer. I was valued and loved and accepted as hot mess 13-year-old Chris Sauter. And it was because of that that it changed everything for me. And a little bit later is when I saw what Phil was doing. I'm like, I want to do this. It was at that smelly youth building in the back parking lot where I knew this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I actually said, like, I went up to Phil. I said, "Phil, how do you become one of these youth pastors?" And he goes, "Oh, I went to North Central Bible College." And so it was like then I'm like, "Oh, I guess that's where I'm going to college now." And I literally just went to that school, and they called themselves an AG school, right? Which AG means Assemblies of God, and I had no clue what that was, right? I soon learned, right? And I just followed in his footsteps because that's the kind of impression that guy had on me, and that church, that youth group had on me. And I made a decision. I thought when I got a little bit older, I'm like, I want a community where there can be a whole room full of Phils. I want to have a Phil Baker culture, meaning this, that you are loved and you are valued not by what you produce, not by what you believe, not the color of your skin, not the way you vote, but in and of yourself, at the deepest part of you is the divine. The deepest part of you is God. And because of that, you're welcome to the table. And Nikki and I have been doing this, I think, 16, 17 years now, right? And that's always been our goal. Let's have a place where you are loved and where you are valued, where Jesus is at the center. I was sharing this, this transition, right, has been incredibly hard, as you can imagine. Hard for a lot of us. Worth it, and we're excited, but hard. And I drive Uber right? Once in a while, because I'm a high extrovert and I need to meet more people apparently, right? And it's fun. And I had a guy hop in my car and he goes, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "Hey, let me share with you how I'm doing," right? I'm trying to practice vulnerability. And it's really good. It's easier for me at times to be vulnerable with someone I don't know. It's a good practice for me. And if you're a 3 on the Enneagram, then you understand why for any 3s out there. So I just was honest with this guy. I'm like, "This is what's happening. We're really excited. It's really hard." And he begins to share his story with me. And in 10th grade, he lived in a different country, but in 10th grade, he came out to his parents. And his mom, the next, I think it was like 2 or 3 days later, sent him off to conversion therapy. And if you don't know what conversion therapy is like this place, and it was a Christian place, where they performed exorcisms over him to get the gay demon out of him. And then they began to pray over the part of his brain, he's a man, right? To pray over the feminine part of his brain to silent him. And he did that for 3 weeks. And he said, "It ruined my life. It changed my relation with my mom." Whew. And he's crying, I'm crying, right? Trying to drive, I'm like, "I'm so sorry, man," right? And he looked at me, we got done, I turned around, we looked, made eye contact, and he said, "Chris, thank you for creating a space where 10th grade me could show up, where 10th grade me could show up and process and ask questions and still be loved." And that's the kind of church we have always been. And this is the kind of community that we will continue to be, that we are a Jesus-centered church. Jesus-centered church. Like, we just got through a series where we talked about our values. Values help shape how we make decisions, how we want to create a culture of how we want to behave, right? But what we're talking for this week and the next 2 weeks is like in a bucket, like 3 big buckets. What kind of church are we? We are Jesus-centered. And you see this all throughout the Bible, right? All throughout the Bible. And we're gonna be reading on James 14. James 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus said, "I am the road, also the truth, also the life, and no one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him, and you've even seen him." Philip said, "Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content." Like, Philip does not understand anything that's going on apparently, right? "Show us and we'll be content." And verse 9, "You've been with me all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't get it. You don't understand. To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, 'Where's the Father?' Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act." Verse 11, "Believe me, I am in my Father, my Father is in me. And if you can't believe that, believe what you can see, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing, and you can count on it." And I love the book of John, because what Jesus is doing here, he's saying, "Can you like see what's really going on?" It's in response, right, to Thomas. Jesus says, "Hey, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to prepare a home for you," essentially, right? He's using, like, imagine this, like a parable, a metaphor, and his disciples just don't get it. They're like, "Well, how are we supposed to know where this home is, Jesus?" That's how I hear the disciples, right? And Jesus, that's when he says, "Well, like, how do you find the road? Like, me." like right in front of you, so close you can smell my breath. It's like right here, right? And people use this verse. Interestingly enough, people use this verse of like, "I am the way, I am the truth," almost as like a threat. Has anyone else ever experienced this before? It's almost like a bully, and it's like, "Well, Jesus says, he's the way, and he's the way," and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Jesus is saying, if you want to know what God looks like, if you want to know what heaven feels like, if you want to know what it looks like to experience the kingdom of God, what it is to experience truth, it's right here. And Jesus is saying 2 things. It's like, do you want to know what God looks like, what God does, how God shows up, how God loves? Like, we see it in the person of Jesus. And I love the line that he says in there, "And if you don't believe me, just look around. If you can't trust the words, I am Jesus, look around and look at the things that are happening, of that there's hope being restored, that the least and the last are finally noticed. That they're not even just noticed. It's like Jesus is like leaving the establishment and moving over here and says, this is where my kingdom lives. This is what it looks like to experience heaven. So Jesus is saying, if you can't hear me, can you feel me? Can you see me? Can you experience? You want to know what heaven feels like? Jesus saying, it's in and through me. And this is why we say we're a Jesus-centered church. We want to be a Jesus-looking people. I want to be a Jesus-looking man. And every single thing we do, we're putting Jesus at the center. And I learned this, I'm going to give you, like, if you're here and you love diagrams, anyone here, like, you love diagrams? You're like, yeah, more models, Diana, that's true, right? So I learned this. This is a theory, right? This is a theory. You're not going to necessarily, like, go up and look in, like, Acts chapter 3 and see centered set in there, right? But this theory helps, like, explain of what it means to put Jesus at the center. Right? So we have two. We have bounded set and we have centered set. And bounded set is that you have something not so much in the middle. What you are defined by is that line, right? We do this as families and friends where we have bounded sets. And where your value is either on what side of that line you are in. You're either on outside of the circle or you're inside of the circle. And what that boundary is very well defined, and your value is if you're in. We do this as friends. If you're here and you're a parent and you have young kids and maybe with your friends and you hand your kid a phone and your friend goes, oh, you let your kids have screen time. And you're like, give it back to me, Billy. Hurry up. I can't lose this friendship, right? Right? Or it's like, oh, so you have high fructose corn syrup. I want my kids to live past 11. Right? You do this at work. Right? You might have a very firm boundary of if you put fish in the microwave or not, right? All sorts of evil comes out of you if you see someone doing that, right? And historically, we do this as churches, right? Where we have a clear boundary of the value is more of if you are right or if you're wrong, if you're in or you're out. And the energy really goes to defining those boundaries very, very, very hard. Someone is a gatekeeper, someone stands at the boundary, and you come in, and the energy is to get you in, and the energy is to keep you in, right? Maybe you've experienced this. Churches have done this for a lot of different reasons, of young earth or old earth, right? Do you believe in a six-day creation, or do you believe that there could be evolution? Right? Am I saying that right? Yeah, okay, evolution. I don't know, it came out funny. If you believe, right? Believe that if you're really saved, if you speak in tongues, and if you don't, you're just kind of like in relationship with Jesus, but not a real thing. Like, there's all sorts of things. And whoever, it's usually a small group of people that decide where that boundary is, and they make that about who we are. Your value is if you're in or out. Do you understand this, right? There's another theory, and this is what we see out of John 14. This is what we see in the life of Jesus. It's called centered set. Centered set is a lot messier, significantly, because the energy doesn't go defining the boundary. The energy is trying to protect that boundary, circle the wagons. The energy has to have a clear center. It has to have something that is bold, that is clear, that is beautiful, that is life-giving, that will draw people. Can you hear Jesus saying this, right? I will draw people onto myself. And there's no clear boundary. Now, this does not mean, so those who are listening to this podcast or here and saying, well, you don't believe in sin, you don't believe in salvation. No, I absolutely believe in that. But where you're going to draw that line, like, all of us have come to experience Jesus in some powerful, beautiful, mystical ways. So instead of just drawing that line, what we put our energy towards, what we see what the gospel invites us to, is to be centered set, meaning that you're going to have all these arrows, right? Your life is an arrow. And it doesn't matter how close you are to the center. You could be as close to the center or you could be all the way in good old Renshaw, right? You don't need to laugh at Renshaw. Come on. You could be as far away and doesn't matter the proximity. It matters what way your arrow is pointing. And our energy has always been that we want to help people move their arrow towards the Christ, move their arrow towards Jesus. This is why we can sit down and be curious. This is why we can ask questions. This is why we can be vulnerable. This is why we can be a hot mess. This is why we can cry right before you get up and do announcements. This is where you can show up and celebrate. You can show up and disagree and challenge. Because all we're asking is, can you move your arrow towards Jesus? And when you move your arrow towards Jesus, this beautiful thing happens of that you become a Jesus-looking person more and more. And how life works, right, is that it's not like this, like very clear line of you start here, and then the older I get, the holier I get, and the more hair I get, right? It's not how it works. The centered set theory is if this is Jesus, right? There's times in my life where I'm literally walking away. There's times where I'm like standing still. There's times where I'm going to be horizontally kind of like let's talk about it later, God. Let's talk about it later, right? And the way that we can grow, the way that we can evolve, like there's room for that. There's room. In a bounded set, there's not room. Because it's telling you, this is who you are. And this is what it looks like, and this is how you have to behave, and this is how, like, can you imagine being part of a group of friends or a family or a job or even like a spiritual community where you have to check all 28 boxes and we all believe in exactly the same things and our values in the sameness? Like, I went to my 20th class reunion on Friday. Yes, I don't know if that makes me young or makes you old to some of you, right? I told someone the other day, I'm like, yeah, I graduated in 99. They're like, what? I thought you were old. I'm like, oh. So I showed up and I was nervous because I haven't seen a lot of these people for 20 years. I'm like, will I remember Andrew Cordom? Will I remember Brianna Olson? Like, for some reason, in Carleton, I have to say their first and last names. It's not just Michael. It's Michael Cockett, right? It's just how it works in small town. And I'm sitting there and in walks Alden Tibbs. And I'm like, Alden, how you doing, bud? It's like it just all came back to me. And in 20 years, there's been some things that have never changed in the lives of my classmates and me. In the 20 years, there's been a lot that has changed in the lives of my classmates and me. And thank God, right? Unless I'd still be listening to Foo Fighters and Weezer. Wait, I do, yeah. Right? But in 20 years, we should evolve. We should grow. We should make mistakes. We should like stumble. We should have our minds blown. We should make pivots. And when we have a centered set approach, when we have a Jesus-centered community, there's room to evolve. There's room to grow. It's actually encouraged. And friends, this is the kind of community that we are, that we can hold our babies and run up the stairs. All right? That's a good dad. Honestly, a crying baby is not a threat to like the value of a service. Where you can come and be a mess. You can come and be so excited. You can come and have kids or not have kids. You can be a Trumper or you can be a never Trumper. You can be all those things and you are loved. And you are valued. And some of you are here today and you have experienced maybe like that boundary from family, maybe that boundary from a church, maybe that boundary from a group of friends, or maybe at your work, or maybe not a group of friends, just like maybe a group of just like, I think we're friends, right? Those kind of friends. And for whatever reason, because you've either stepped out of that boundary or you've not crossed over that boundary or you did cross that boundary and now you're realizing, I don't like this. I had one of my friends talk about getting rid of toxic things in your life. And you are exhausted. Or you're hurt. Or you're nervous. Like, Jesus is with you. And there is hope. And this is a place for that 10th grade guy I told the story, for like the 13-year-old Chris who was insecure, didn't know where to land, for a place for you. So thank you for being a part of the neighborhood church. Let's stand. Let's pray. I'm going to, if you're on a ministry team, if you wouldn't mind making your way up, we take time to pray for one another because this is what we do. We stand up for each other, and we speak words of blessing over one another, and we'll even put our hands and pray over people who have needs. And there's two things that I wrote down that maybe you're experiencing. The first is this: the idea of being accepted, loved, and valued feels so odd to you. The idea of that you could be loved and accepted and valued, not by what you do, not by what you perform, or not even what you believe, but just in and of yourself. You feel like you've been performing your whole life. Maybe you've been performing for a certain group of people, and you are done with that. Man, we'd love the chance to pray for you. And the second thing is this. Whole idea of turning your arrow, and in my mind, it's not just one arrow, it's like hundreds of arrows, and the way that I view money, the way I view my marriage, the way I view my spirituality, it's like some arrows are going that way, and other arrows are just like firm, like no, right? And you want to move towards the Christ, you want to move towards this good and beautiful God. Man, we'd love the opportunity to pray for you about that. So I'm going to pray, and when I'm done praying, we're going to do some worship, and you can come up and get prayer. So please join me. So God, we love you. And I thank you that you invite us to see you. And that when we see the Christ, we see God. And that even to this day, that when we see beauty in art, when we see something beautiful in a song, when we laugh with friends, when we feel inspired through reading the Bible, like that is the Christ in front of us. That is heaven. And I pray for my friends who need to experience heaven, need to experience hope, need to experience something beautiful. I ask even right now, you would come. And you would speak the parts of our hearts that feel heavy, who feel hurt, who feel nervous about what's to come. Holy Spirit, will you come? And I ask, Jesus, you would show us in this space and tomorrow and the next day of how we can continue to move towards you, that we move our arrows towards you. And give us hope and give us courage, give us wisdom, give us humbleness to continue to turn towards you. If that's out of joy, if that's out of curiosity, if that's out of wonderment, all of it, God, we say yes. So thank you for being good, and we love you. Amen. So feel free at any point to come up and get prayer. Thank you for being part of Neighborhood Church, and we'll see you next weekend.